Good morning, and welcome to worship on this, the first Sunday in Lent. We began our Lenten journey on Wednesday with Ash Wednesday, and we're going to continue it for 40 days until we reach the great 3 days of Jesus' death and resurrection. There are a few announcements as we begin our time together today. One is, I just want you to know that Ashes to Go and Communion to Go that we did in the parking lot, it was a really good success. Even though the numbers may not have been as many as we thought, the people who did come, it was so nice to see them face to face and to be able to give them that blessing. So thank you all for participating, and who knows, we may have similar things coming along in the future. We are in Lent, and so we are going to begin our midweek Lenten services this following Wednesday. They will be video only. We aren't going to have in-person worship services. They will be online by noon each Wednesday. And it's going to be based on the book that we're going to be studying called Unoffendable by Brant Hansen. Each worship service will cover 5 chapters of the book, basically. Not word for word or anything like that, but the basic idea, the concepts behind the book. And I think the people who have started reading it have found it a very engaging book. The following Tuesday, which would be March 2nd, I believe, we are going to have a Zoom book study meeting about those 5 chapters that we talked about at worship the preceding Wednesday. So Wednesday, we'll have the worship. On the following Tuesday, we'll have the book study time. All you have to do is call into the Zoom meeting. The link is going to be in the e-news, and you just follow that when it's time for the book study, which is 6:30 on the Tuesdays of Lent. Also, we have a First Communion class coming up again. So if you or someone you know of are interested in having a child or a young person participate in their First Communion class, you are most certainly welcome and encouraged to sign up online. It's going to be March 13th at 9:30 to 11:30 here in the sanctuary. But we'll also be recording it just in case you need to see it that way. So, First Communion class, sign up as soon as you can. And finally, we have a couple fundraisers going on. The youth are doing a fundraiser, cinnamon rolls, and you can purchase them online. Not really purchase, you kind of reserve them, and then it's a free will offering donation when you come and pick them up. But we'll be doing that from Ash Wednesday until St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. So that span of time, please go online and support the youth ministry of our church. Also, the preschool is selling butter braids at this time. So if you need your butter braid fix, you know where to go. That concludes the announcements for today. Let us begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We begin the way that we always do, by sharing the peace that God has given us with each other. So the peace of the Lord be with you all. And if you take a minute and share that same peace with the people around you or via text, however you want to do that, God's peace. We continue with our confession. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the keeper of the covenant, the source of all steadfast love, and the rock and our redeemer. Amen. God hears us when we cry and draws close to us in Jesus. So let us return to the Lord our God, the one who is full of compassion and mercy. A moment for silent reflection. Fountain of living water, pour out your mercy over us. Our sin is heavy and we long to be free. Rebuild what we have ruined and mend what we have torn. Wash us in your cleansing flood. Make us alive in the Spirit to follow in the ways of Jesus as healers and restorers of the world you so love. Amen. Beloved, God's word never fails. The promise rests on God's grace by the saving love of Jesus Christ. The wisdom and power of God by all these things combined. All of our sins have been forgiven, and God remembers them no more. Let us journey together in the way of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing together our opening hymn, Lift High the Cross. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us join together in praying the prayer of the day. Holy God, Heavenly Father, in the waters of the flood you saved the chosen, and in the wilderness of temptation you protected your Son from sin. Renew us in the gift of baptism. May your holy angels be with us, that the wicked foe may have no power over us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship with the reading of the lessons.
Our first lesson is from the book of Genesis, chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. Today's reading is the conclusion to the flood story. Because of human sin, God destroys the earth by flood, saving only Noah, his family, and the animals on the ark. Yet divine destruction gives way to divine commitment. As in the first creation, God blesses humanity and establishes a covenant with all creatures. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." The responsive psalm is Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. You are gracious and upright, O Lord. Therefore you teach sinners in your way. You lead the lowly in justice and teach the lowly your way. All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your covenant and your testimonies. Our second lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. As God acted through Christ's suffering and death to bring us to God, so God acts through baptisms to save us from a sinful existence. This spiritual cleansing marks our new life in Christ. Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. Here end the reading.
Listen, listen, be open, all my heart. Listen, listen, be open, all my heart.
This is the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue now with our children's sermon.
Good morning, boys and girls. It's so good to be with you on this beautiful Sunday morning. We want to thank you for joining us wherever you are for worship today here at Joy Lutheran Church. It's a day to celebrate and to remember all of the blessings that God has given to us. You know, speaking of blessings, I'm sitting here by one of my favorite stained glass windows in our church. And of course, it's a rainbow. Now, there's a story in the Bible about a rainbow. And you may know it. It's about Noah and the ark. Now, God says there's going to be this big flood. And Noah needs to build an ark or a big, huge boat in order to stay alive during the flood. And so it rains and pours for 40 days and 40 nights. And then, at the end of those 40 days and 40 nights, God gives Noah and all of us a blessing. God makes a promise to us, to everyone, that God is going to make the world new again. So sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes we make poor decisions. Sometimes people do things that are just straight up wrong. And that hurts. It hurts you, it hurts me, it hurts everyone when those things happen. And it hurts God too. And so God put the rainbow in the sky to promise to Noah and to you and me that God is going to heal everything and make it new again. God's going to get rid of all of the hurt, all of the pain we experience in life, all of the bad things that happen. God is going to get rid of it all. And you know how God's going to do that? Through Jesus. God is going to do this through Jesus until one day when there will only be life. And it will be so awesome and so wonderful, and it'll be good. That's the promise. So if you're ever having a bad day, or if you're going through a tough time, you can always look to the rainbow. Whether it's here in church, or whether it's in the sky when you're outside, this sign, this symbol, is a reminder of how much God loves us. That God doesn't want us to hurt, and that God wants all things to be new again. Would you please join me in prayer today? All right. Good and gracious God, we thank you for all of the blessings in our lives, for loved ones and for people who care for us and show us how much you love us. We thank you for the sign and symbol of the rainbow, that you have promised to make all things new, and that no matter what happens in life, we know and we can have hope that you will make all things new through Jesus Christ. And it is through Jesus Christ that we offer these prayers to you. And all God's people said, Amen. All right, guys, you have a great week. Be well, show love in the world, and always remember, the rainbow, God loves you. Take care, guys.
Brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. There's a popular TV show that many people love, and it's called This Is Us. You don't have to have seen the show, but essentially, without giving anything away, it's a show about how we get to be where we are. It's a show about the web of histories that bring us to this place and to this time. How did we become the people we are today? How did we get here? And it does a really great job of taking in all of these past experiences and showing how they impact the future. Now, I'm going to suggest that this Lenten season will take on a very similar vein. Because ultimately in Lent, we are telling our story. It's the same story every year. It always is. And as a kid, it drove me nuts. But now I see it's beautiful. Because unlike rereading the same book over and over and over again, this story continues to speak to us as we age and grow. It continues to speak to us in our time and place as we progress in our time and place. Ultimately, this is the story of how we got here. It's the story of where we're going. It's our story. And yet, it's more than that. It's a story about life. It's a story about hope. And not just the kind of hope that, you know, is like wishful thinking or that you just hope everything will turn out nice in the end. No, this is a story of real hope because it takes seriously the truth of life in the world. It's a great story. It's God's story. So our lesson, first lesson this morning from Genesis, what we don't hear is kind of the background to that. And we have to remember that before all of this, before there were bows in the clouds, God was grieved. God was grieved. Things were not going as planned. Long ago, God felt that the existence of life was better than the alternative of a formless void of nothingness. But then there came a time when what seemed like a good idea now felt like a horrible mistake. Sin and death and violence had ravaged the earth. So God decided to start over. And like I often do when I start any kind of artsy type project, God just wanted to scrap the whole thing and begin again. Maybe it'll go better the second time around. And it's true that God loved the creation, but the creation did not seem so interested in loving back. God created the world to be beautiful, but the power of sin had tarnished it. God had created life because life was better than no life. But it seemed that people were more interested in how to end it rather than preserve it. So there's the flood. We know the story. Noah and the ark and the animals and the 40 days and 40 nights of rain. But we pick up after the flood. And something interesting happens here. Something that I can only describe as divine repentance. That's right. It's not humankind that repents after the flood. It's God. How interesting. How fascinating that somewhere along the way, God has a change of heart and sees that sin's destruction of the beloved creation cannot be healed or fixed by more destruction. It cannot be fixed by just canceling everything and starting over. So God repents. God repents and vows to go in a new direction. And God does this by making a covenant. A covenant with Noah and all of creation, a promise that doesn't require anything of you or me or anyone else. The promise is solely God's. And God says, I will never do this again. Destruction will never be the way. And like a warrior laying aside their weapon, God hangs the bow in the clouds Not simply as a reminder to us and for us to look into the sky and see, oh, there's a rainbow, it's beautiful. The bow is there as a reminder of the commitment that God is making to life, to the world, to you and to me. God has promised that the healing of this world will not come through coercion or violence or destruction. God will instead deal with the binding power of sin and death in a new way. But it means that God will still grieve. That this world is not yet as it should be, and so God grieves. And it's been said before that the grief is the price we pay for love. It's the cost of commitment. And it's also been said that grief doesn't really end. It just becomes a constant companion. It's a long-term project. And in the covenant that God made to Noah and the creation, in the covenant that God made to you and to me, God is accepting these realities of grief. God accepts the pain that comes with grief because through it, sin and death will come to an end. This covenant is God's promise that He's in it for the long haul. The healing of this world will not come through death and destruction. The healing of this world will come as God takes sin and death and makes it a part of God's very self. Jesus knew this. Jesus knew this even as His ministry is just beginning. That what was promised long ago in the covenant to Noah and all of life is now being fulfilled. Now is the time. Jesus says, now is the time when it is being fulfilled, when the way that God has charted, the new way, is being realized. It is here. This is the beginning of the end of the powers of sin and death. They will no longer hold the life of the world in bondage. And we call this new way the kingdom of God. And it really shouldn't come as a surprise that Jesus says this is good news. Because the world has been waiting a long, long time since the days of Noah. God has been waiting a long, long time for this moment. And like God did so long ago, we are now called to repent of the ways of sin and death and to turn to the new way, the way of life, the way of hope, the way that Jesus Christ has shown us and has prepared for us, that all we believe, all we need is to believe in the good news that God has done it. That the bow is still hanging in the clouds, never to be used as a weapon again. But there's still more of the story to tell. There's still more of the story to be unfolded. It's the story of a God who so loved the world. It's a story that reminds us that even when all seems broken and hopeless, God continues to find a way. This is Lent. This is a time for telling the story. Our story, God's story. A story that began long, long ago with a promise. A promise to do things differently for your sake and for mine. And so we will continue to tell this story. Because ultimately, it is a story of the thing that we need most. It is a story of the hope we have. Amen.
Come to me, all pilgrims thirsty, drink the water I will give. If you knew what gift I offer, you would come to me and live. Jesus, ever-flowing fountain, give us water from your well. In the gracious gift you offer, there is joy no tongue can tell. Come to me, all travelers weary, come that I may give you rest. Drink the cup of life I offer, at this table be my guest. Jesus, ever-flowing fountain, give us water from your well. In the gracious gift you offer, there is joy no tongue can tell. To me, believers burdened, find refreshment in this place. Come receive the gift I offer, turn to me and seek my face. Jesus, ever-flowing fountain, give us water from your well. Gracious gift you offer, there is joy no tongue can tell. Come to me, distressed and needy, I would be your trusted friend. Come and seek the gift I offer, come your open hands extend. Jesus, ever-flowing fountain, give us water from your well. In the gracious gift you offer, there is joy no tongue can tell.
Let us join together with our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world and throughout all time by confessing our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. During the season of Lent, one of the traditions for our prayer time together is to have a bidding prayer where the leader of worship will say, let us pray for. Then there's a moment of silence where the people of God joined together can lift up their prayers for those specific people. And then we'll pray a summary prayer after each petition. I think you'll get the hang of it. Here we go. On this first Sunday of Lent, Lord God, we come before you and we remember that we are dust and to dust we shall return. We also remember that you do miraculous things with dust. You breathe life into our tired old world constantly and consistently. And so today we ask that you hear our prayers that we raise up. Let us join together and pray for the hungry and the homeless and all those in need. Almighty God, on this day we remember that all your children are precious in your sight. So help us to carry out the command of Jesus to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and to care for all those in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for those who have physical needs and are desperate for healing at this time. Heavenly Father, we pray for all those that we hold in our hearts, those people who need your healing power in this moment at this time. In particular, we pray for Linda Holcomb's friend, Tony, and we ask that you uphold him, help the doctors and the nurses care for him in his time of need. But we pray for all the names that we have risen up to you today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for those who are struggling with loneliness, with the pain of isolation, and with the struggle they are having to adapt to this world. Almighty God, even though this world seems somewhat chaotic, and there's illness and war and hatred and anger, we know that you are the God of love and life. And so we ask you to intervene. Intervene into people's loneliness, into people's pain, and use us to be the mediators of your grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Let us pray for our country and for those who are in positions of leadership. Heavenly Father, we pray for all those who are in positions of leadership in our country, in our state, in our towns. We ask that you grant them your wisdom, give them vision to understand that their decisions impact the lives of your people, but also help them to be servants. Help them to have servants' hearts and to love the people that they have served. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, Lord, let us pray for our church, for the church throughout the whole world, the Christian church, for the ELCA, for the Rocky Mountain Synod, and for Joy Lutheran. Lord Jesus, you have commissioned us to go into this world to proclaim your word, to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to offer the life that you have given for the sake of this world. Help keep us focused on our mission. Help us to remember that we are your servants and we are your people, and so we need to uphold you and your way to this broken and hurting world. Help us to be faithful in our mission. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen. We continue our worship this morning with the offering. It's Lent, a time of automatic reflection, a time to be quiet and think about our lives. So during this offering meditation, I invite you to offer up to God what's in your heart, and I will too. We continue this morning with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary. It is our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus the Christ. You have called your people to cleanse their hearts, to prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, so that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with the choirs of angels and the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn.
Savior, precious Savior, whom yet unseen we love, O name of might and favor, all other names above, we worship thee, we bless thee, to thee alone we sing, we praise thee and confess thee, our holy Lord and King.
We remember in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And guided by the Holy Spirit, we remember what our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you at home to take your bread and hear the words. This is the body of Christ given for you. And again, take the cup. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. I invite you to receive the blessing. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ strengthen us and keep us always in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Christ Jesus, at this table, we have feasted on your very life and are strengthened for our journey. We ask that you send us forth from this banquet nourished in body and in spirit so that we can proclaim your good news and serve others in your holy name. Amen. And now, may God the Creator strengthen us. May Jesus the Beloved fill our hearts. And may the Holy Spirit the Comforter keep us in God's peace. Amen. Let's sing our closing hymn together. I want Jesus to walk with me. go in peace, share the good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.